I got these three scriptures about a quarter of nine, three or four scriptures popped up in my spirit just waiting on the Lord. But I was thinking about the children of Israel, and I was reading the story about the children of Israel in Exodus back 28 years ago or so, maybe longer than that, but all of a sudden I just saw an overall picture, you know, because he sends Moses down to Egypt, he begins to tell them, I've got a land for you. He sent him to the children of Israel, and Moses, it don't in giving detail, but all the things that Moses said to him, but Moses was telling them, look, you can be free. You're gonna have your own houses. You're gonna have your own wells. You're gonna have your own vineyards. You know, you're not going to have to be slaves anymore. You know, the Lord has sent me here and to tell you, you know, and all of that, you know. And he begins to tell him, and you can just read the story. You know, Pharaoh didn't want to let him go and let him go part of the way and leave some things here. That's so, see, he didn't want him to go too deep in God. You know, leave some possessions here so that you'll have to return back, see. And God spoke to me back years ago, and he said, remove your rearview mirror. I mean, he speaks to us the way we understand. But he just told me, he said, don't look back. In other words, take your rearview mirror off, you know, and just go after me. Just come after me, you know. And so then I began to see that story, how that he got them to the Red Sea, you know, and the enemy was coming after them. And all of that, you know, and then he told Moses, he said, stretch forth your rod. How many knows God will give you instruction in your life? For you know, if the enemy is coming in hard or coming in against you, you know, or life or the world or things coming against you, God will give you a word. He'll give you a word. You'll just have an impression or something, you know. But when he stretched forth that rod, and in obedience to the Lord, y'all know the Red Sea rolled back. And they went across on dry land, and the enemy started to cross, and God shut it. God shut it on them and destroyed them. And when the children of Israel saw that, you know, I mean, that's a type of deliverance. You know, Jesus delivered us. He's the one that came and delivered us, and they were actually in the Old Testament waiting on Jesus. You know, they were waiting on the coming of Jesus, you know. But anyways, they begin to shout and praise God and sing songs to the Lord and all of that, you know. And then he was taking them to the promised land. He's taking them to that land, and God spoke to me back then through the Bible, you know. And just, I just had this, the Lord, he said, the dreams that you have. See, me and Teresa, when we got saved, we were young. I think she was like 21 or so, and I was like, you know, 27, I think, along in there. And we had a lot of things take place. We had 7-year bad marriage. We loved each other, but it's just the choices we were making, drugs and different things, you know. And all I ever really wanted personally was to have a good life, and all she wanted to do is have fun. And we destroyed all of that with each other. She just wanted to have fun and all that, you know. And so the Lord, you know, the Lord, when I give my heart to the Lord and I started reading that, he said, that's you in there. He said, that's you. He said, that was that generation. He said that I brought out of bondage through Moses and signs and wonders and miracles. He said, and I was taking them to the place where I told them I wanted them to be free. I wanted them to worship me. I wanted them to be free to worship me in their own place and all of that. And the Lord told me, he said, that's you. He said, that's your house that you want. He said, that's your financial life. That's your future. He said, I wasn't asking them, you know, to do it all. I was asking them to believe me. He asked them in the wilderness, and I was thinking about Psalm 78, talking about this same bunch that had come across, and they were praising God. They had saw a miracle, you know, and then they get out there in the desert. They get out there. They've got to cross this desert to get to the promised land, to get to Canaan land. So they've got to go through, you know, they got to go through storms. They scorpions out there. There's snakes out there. They don't have any food. I mean, they don't have anything. And well, now I take that back. God give them instruction down there, and they borrowed gold and silver. They come out of bondage wealthy. And the Lord spoke to me. He said because I've started out, you know, and I'm like, God, you're going to prosper me in Teresa. I mean, we're in our 20s, you know, and I had a lot of people tell me, well, you know, prosperity's not for Christians. You know, I mean, you know, it's just not for it. And so I was kind of discouraged, to be honest with you. Some folk got me discouraged. But when I got into the Bible for myself, when I got in there fasting and praying, when I found out fasting was what Christians did, you know, when I found out praying and seeking God and acknowledging God through the Bible, when I found out that it's God, Deuteronomy 8:18, that gives us the power to obtain wealth because he's establishing his covenant with us. He is a covenant God. You know, a lot of times I didn't understand covenant because I never really, the only thing I really seen close to a covenant, I guess, is I knew my daddy loved his family. And he would do anything for them. You know, well, how many knows that God is way bigger than my earthly dad was? He is more faithful than my earth. So I begin to understand, you know, that God is a covenant God, that he made covenant. If we enter into that covenant by the blood of Jesus, I mean, when we surrender our life to Jesus, we enter into the covenant that he made. And we are the promises of the Abraham covenant. We are the descendants of Abraham. Teresa talked about, you know, Abraham, he had faith. I mean, he had faith. He knew God and go offer up his only son, Isaac, on the altar. That this is the only way that he could see, I'm sure, in the natural, the word God had told him, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Well, if he kills his seed, how is all of this going to come that God had told him? But because of Abraham's faith, did you know we got the faith of God? Did you know we got the same kind of faith Abraham had? We just got to trust God. We got to learn to trust God. We got to learn to lean on God. And we got to learn to expect God to take us to our promised land, to fix our marriages, to make sure we have good relationships with our families. Hallelujah. This is what the fight of faith is about. It's not just about money. Money is really on the bottom of the list, but it's on the list. You know, and so God, they're out there, and the Bible says in Psalm 78, it says that they turned back in their hearts. They limited the Holy One of Israel. And I read that 20-something years ago, I guess 28, 29, and I was reading that, and my attention came to that they limited God. I'm thinking, he's God. He just rolled back the red. How can this be? That they limited God. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, read on. And I began to read on, and he said, because of their unbelief, because they would not believe, I'll feed you manna out of heaven. I'm taking you over there. Don't complain about it. Don't complain about where you're at. Don't complain. And God was teaching me then to be able, and teaching us now, to be able, see, to be thankful where we're at, but not satisfied because we're on a journey. We're on a journey here to be successful. Jesus said, occupy till I come. I mean, he didn't say quit and give up and don't dream and don't believe that things can, don't stop believing. Don't stop believing you can come out. Don't stop believing that God can turn things around because of things in the natural. He said, occupy. The word occupy, look it up, it says do business. In other words, God was saying, Keep going to work and believe in me, Scotty. Keep going with your cows and believe me. Believe bigger. Believe me to do it. Keep believing me in your marriage. Keep believing me in your relationships. Don't let the things come like the children of Israel and provoke me to anger. They provoked him to anger. I mean, he got angry. Then I was reading it, and then God said, I didn't let my anger get kindled against them because they're just mere flesh. He had mercy on them. But you know what? They did not enter into that promised land. They did not to get in and experience what God told them in Egypt. I mean, his heart was set. I'm taking y'all. There was millions of them out there. But they was two. They was two of them. And they went in. And they did get to go in. And there was some went in. But that generation didn't get to go in. He calls them. It was an 11-day journey if they'd have went straight across, some say. God caused them to wander around in the wilderness for 40 years. He waited till that unbelieving... See, they didn't quit going to church, so to speak. There was no church out there. They kept walking. They kept going, but they complained the whole time. I mean, they complained. They griped about not having water. They said, they told Moses, you brought us out here to die. We was better off in Egypt. Satan will come and tell you, you're better off not try to serve God. Things are easier. And things work out better if you don't serve God, if you don't get dedicated to God, dedicated to the things of God. I was telling one of my sisters last night, I said, whatever you do, I said, something happened at their church or whatever. I said, whatever you do, I said, find where God wants you and get planted in the house of God. I said, I am thankful that I got planted in a good church back when I was young in the Lord, and I learned how to pray. I learned how to walk with God. I learned how to fast through the elders that went before me. I was thinking about it this morning, that the one of the big things that impacted my life in church, and this is why we need to encourage one another, you know, is one of the deacons, he would stand up and he would say, just serve him and he'll use you. That's all he would say to old man, you know. And I'm thinking, what's he talking about? Just serve him and he'll use you. Just serve him. And I'd go out and I'd be like, I'm going to serve the Lord. See, it didn't take 15 scriptures. It took anointed word from a man that was saying, if you want to be used by God, if you want God in your marriage, if you want God in your finances, if you want God in your future, then just serve Him. It was real simple. So I'd go out and I'd meet persecution. You know, look, when I got saved, I lost. The ones we used to party with and all of that stuff, and I felt honestly lonely. I felt lonely. I felt like the fun life is over. I mean, I'm just telling you. I felt that, you know. I felt like, man, we'd give up fun. I mean, I'm 27. You know, you're not really thinking good at 27, man. I think age helps you think better, you know. But God was changing. And you know what, praise God? Then as I began to walk with God, and I wasn't in that life anymore, and I was having to fight the battles of not yielding to that life and all of that stuff, you know. But joy, I started having peace and joy in here. And I'm like, man, this is the good life. You know, I started, and I'm like, whoo, I don't want to kill nobody because I think they're looking at my wife. I'm not in that environment, you know, and all that stuff, you know, all of that bondage. See, Egypt, when God brought them out of Egypt, they still had Egypt in them. They thought that way. They thought prisoner. They thought. They didn't think. I mean, they didn't make decisions. I mean, the decisions was pretty much made for them. You're going to labor. We're going to feed you this and whatever the case might be. But God brought them out where they could make free choices. Free choices to serve God. Hallelujah. But you know what? See, when you get born again, your mind don't get born again. Your flesh don't get born again. We get born again inwardly. The old man dies, and behold, all things, we're new creation. Behold, all things become new. That's on the inside. And so I found out that a lot of the old thinking, the jealousy patterns, the all of that was still a part of me. And I felt like somewhat maybe like Paul was talking about over there, when I want to do good, evil's present. The thing that I know to do, I don't do. You know, and then he went on, you know, and I read the last part of that. It's in Romans 8. And Paul said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He said, I thank my God through Christ Jesus. Then I began to find out people in church, they would say, I told them, I said, well, we got to renew our mind to the Word of God. We got to renew. And one person told me, they said, well, you know what? You're going to get brainwashed. Well, brainwashed wasn't a good word back then, man. You know? And so I thought about it. I thought, man, I don't need to get brainwashed. And then I thought, look at the mess my life was in. You know, my mind needs to be changed. My mind, so I threw it out. How many knows? I didn't even know the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, it says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of that of Egypt. See, it started bringing Egypt down. When I begin to renew my mind and I'm going after God and I'm fasting and praying and setting my heart for this land that I'm going to, that I don't know where I'm going. See, he told Abraham, go to this land, and he didn't even know where he was going, the Bible says in Hebrews. You know, well, see, once we get born again, we're on a journey. We've never walked this journey before. We've never been in this, so we're going by faith, not knowing really. We know the end, it did not yet appear what we shall be, but when he comes, we're going to be like Jesus. So we're on this journey, and we kind of know how the end's going to be. But we look at ourselves sometimes, and we think, I don't know if it can be. But we don't look. The Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. How do you get faith? Faith comes by hearing God's Word. Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so I begin, I've made up my mind. I don't care what the church says. I don't care what church people experience and all that. I'm going to look at God's Word, and I'm going to do my best to begin to put God's Word in my marriage, God's Word in my workplace, God's Word, you know, in my thinking and all of that. And before you know it, I wasn't thinking broke no more. I wasn't thinking I'll never make it anymore. That Word began to come through my mind and get down in your spirits what it does. That's why Satan don't want you reading the Word. He don't want you meditating on the Word. He don't want you sitting under the preached Word. It's not just the preached Word. It's the anointed Word of God that's preached. Satan preaches the Bible. He went and preached it to Jesus. If you are the Son of God, cast yourself down. And he quoted Deuteronomy 8:3 to Satan. I mean, you need to have the Word as the bullets. You come back when Satan's trying to get you to feel defeated, like you're nobody. I thought I would have to move out of Blount County to preach because of my reputation and my family's reputation. I thought nobody would hear me preach. But little did I know, praise God, God told me one time, he said, I can anoint you in the middle of a cow pasture. He said, you don't run from your past. He said, you go towards your future. And you know what, praise God? God raised, I mean, it's just like, I can't remember the guy's name, went to school with him and everything, coming out to food giveaway. And, I mean, you see the crowds that comes and all of that sudden. They said, who's doing this? They said, his name's Scotty Weston. He's right down there. He come down there and he said, man. He's on drugs, you know, and different things. And he said, we went to school together. And he said, man, you're doing this? I said, no, I'm not. I said, I'm not doing it. I said, I'm really not. I said, I said, I'm just following Jesus. I said, the Lord is doing it. I said, but I know what you mean. It's hard for you to conceive that it's me, that I'm head over this, you know, that God. I said, but this is a picture of you. You're looking at you. All you got to do is go after Him. I said, I'm a reflection of you. I said, I give you scripture for that. Paul said, follow after those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Amen. Follow them. Now, don't follow them as they, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so, see, Egypt, Aiden, he won't never know Egypt. Why? Because he's been in it his whole life. Okay? That's great. That is awesome. They don't know what Egypt. But see, some of us, we walked without God. We were trained by our circumstances and our world around us and our fleshly desires and all of that, trying to identify and find life is all we was trying to do. Find joy in life, find purpose in life and all of that. And Satan was out there influencing us to make the wrong decisions, you know, because the Bible says that if we're not for God, we're against God. Well, if we're against God, we're with Him. We're with our father, the devil. So we're, you know, and God's doing all He can do. And then all of a sudden, we get born again. Now we got to come and we got to renew our mind and walk out of Egypt. We got to walk out of all of that old way of thinking, that old speaking. See, I quit calling myself a lot of things because the Bible says that me and you are kings and priests unto God. So the Lord, He told me, He said, you got to think like a king. He said, you got to think like a king. How does a king think? Kings are people in authority. And I thought, but who am I? But who am I? And the Lord said, you are my son. We're the sons of God, the Bible says. And so I started thinking, okay, well, I'm into jail. God began to open doors for me. I wanted to be used of God. My heart was a desire to be used of God. If you've got that desire to be used of God, don't throw it out. Don't throw that out the window and go to thinking about what's God going to use me and all of that, and go to figuring out how God can do it and all that. You've got to get rid of all of that. And you just got to let your heart be after God and say, God, I want to be used. And begin to expect God to be using you. Well, my pastor come to me and he said, I need you to go home with me Sunday. I thought, oh, man, I don't want to go home with him. Then he got on a horse and I thought, on a horse on Sunday? This is Sunday. After church, I was religious, man. You know, nothing wrong with riding a horse. I didn't know that Sunday was not the Sabbath at that time. Did you know Sunday's not the Sabbath? The Sabbath is Saturday. Sunday's the first day of the week in the Jewish calendar. Boy, when I found that out, whom the sun sets free is free indeed. I got free. There was a lot of religious mindset that I had because you don't do nothing on Sunday. God will get you. God will strike you. You know, you just don't do nothing on Sunday. I found out I'd been worshiping God on the wrong day. But you know what? The Lord said, I'm God every day. He said, it's not a building. He said, it's not a place. He said, it's my son Jesus. He said, and He's in you. And those that worship Him in spirit, not on a certain day. So that liberated me a little. See what was happening. Egypt was getting out of me, man. And this where I could, I mean, I'm down, and I know it sounds stupid, but this is a fact. I'm praying one morning. I'm saved about 3 months. And I made up my mind. I heard somebody, a preacher at church or somebody, they say, give God the first part of the day. And I'm thinking, man, I ought to be in at 5 o'clock. you know, first part, man, I mean, I'm going to have to get up really early, you know, he said, if you'll give God a few minutes before you go out in your day, he said, your day will be better. And I thought, And so I got up 30 minutes early, Johnny. That was hard. That was a sacrifice. See, salvation without sacrifice really don't bring nothing. But when you're willing to let your heart be after God and want to be used of God and pray, that you're sacrificing your will right then. That your will is crossing God's will and you're just laying your will out and saying, here I am. You know, well, I thought, okay. So I'm down there praying that morning and I don't feel good. I don't feel like faith or nothing. And I got done. I said, but I'm doing it. And I said, Lord, and I'll see you when I get home. And on the inside, God said, why don't you take me with you? I didn't know you could. I didn't know. I didn't have no scripture or learning or anything at that time. Later on, I found out that Christ in you, the hope of glory. I found out that he will never leave you nor never forsake you. I found out, and then I got up and I thought, well, glory to God, I'll just take him to work with me today. I had a better day than I'd ever had since I got saved. Just having knowledge. He was already with me. He had been going with me every morning, every day to work. He said, I'll never leave you, never forsake. But I didn't have no knowledge, so I didn't walk in what I knew. I couldn't walk in faith in what I didn't know. Well, I mean, he's been with me ever since. And I'm like, man, I've seen signs and wonders. I'm in the jail one day, and the Lord, me and another guy, I started a jail. My pastor, he said, I'm going to take you to the jail. I thought, oh my God, I don't want to go to jail. Oh, I'd done been in jail, man, but it was on the other side. So I'm thinking, I don't know about all this jail stuff, you know. And I said, well, whatever, man. I said, that's fine. So he takes me up there and we go in. He tells me, well, you know, I'm going to take you to jail. I'm going to let you preach in jail. And I'm like, I don't know. I can't preach, man. I mean, I don't know about this. I don't know how to preach. Well, I go up there, go in there, and there's this huge guy in there. He's in the bullpen. You know, bullpen's when they lock you up on Saturday nights. You know, you get caught, probably still drunk and all that, you know, stoned or whatever. You ain't feeling good. Your life's just been took down a notch or two. And he walks into this guy, huge. And I looked at that guy, and I know Teresa has took flesh off of me before with them fingernails. And I knew he had been in some flesh deal there. He had some claw marks. I thought, oh, my God, he must have a mean one like mine. That's what I thought. And then Brad, he goes in there, and he starts right off, and he says, see, I told you, if you get in church, I mean, this guy, you can see this guy looking like Satan. He's getting heated, you know. And I'm like, oh, my God, man, he's making him mad now. You know, he's making this dude mad. And then all of a sudden, he stops. And he says, oh, I wanted to introduce you to Brother Scotty Weston. He's a preacher. Like that, and I thought, oh, my God, man, they done mad, you know. Well, the Lord spoke to me. The Lord said, Tell him that I'll set him free from jealousy. And I told the Lord, I said, I can't. Lord, I can't. I'm not free myself. I can't, Lord, I can't. And the Lord said, do what I'm telling. Tell him. Tell him that I'll set him free, you know, from jealousy. See, I'm all bound in it. I'm still got Egypt. I'm still jealous of my wife. I'm still jealous of if somebody drives my work truck down there, you know, and this is my truck, and it's not your truck, and this is my desk, and you can't set it my desk. I'm still all bound up in that stuff, you know. Egypt still, I've come out of Egypt. You've come out of Egypt. But God's got to help you get Egypt out. Get that Egypt thinking out of you, into kingship, into authority. Walking in authority over the devil. You don't have no troubles. All we need is faith in God. Well, I walked up to that guy and I said, hey man, I said, Jesus will set you free from when I did, tears begin to roll down his face. The Lord told me, he said, you tell him and I'm going to set you free. And I mean, I came from that day, I walked that thing out a little while, and then I'm like, I don't care if somebody does take her, they'll bring her back. You know, freedom. I didn't want to know where, I mean, I didn't want to know how many miles is on her car. I didn't check how many miles she went that day. I gave her own phone. She got her own money. She, you know, and all of that stuff. And the Lord told me, he said, see, I set you free. He said, and it set her free. He said, when you get free, people get free. He said, and as you walk, he said, more people will be free because I freed you. You allowed me to free you. Well, Caleb and Joshua were two that went into that promised land of the original bunch. I mean, when they got there and Moses sent them spies in there, and see, that's what Satan tries to do today to millions of Christians and people today. You know, they look at they sent them in there, they brought back the big cluster of grapes or fruits, you know, took two men to tote a cluster. I mean, that's awesome. A cluster. It took two men to tote a cluster of the grapes that was in that promised land. And they come out, you know, and they was 12 went in there, and they came out, and they looked at the land, and it was just like God said. They said, it is like God said. It's just like God told us 40 years ago. It's there. There's houses and this and this. And they said, but we can't have it. He said, we're like grasshoppers. We can't go take down the enemy. See, Satan would try to make God's people think today, you know, that God's not a big God anymore. You know, that the giants we face and the problems we face and now, that we can't take it. But we can. Two of them said, come on, let us go in right now because we are more than able. We're more than able to take them. God has given them into our hands. How many knows God has delivered me and you total victory through Jesus Christ? Total victory. Now the journey that we're on to walk and have that is a different story. I mean, you got to sharpen your skills. The Bible says that strong meat belongs to those who have their senses exercised. They know good from evil. They know. We can train ourselves to know good from evil. When it comes to the Bible, you know, I preach it here, you know, we make quality decisions. You got to make personal quality decisions. A quality decision is a decision that me and you choose to make of the Bible, and we're not going to be persuaded anything else. If God says victory's mine, then bless God, I'm going to walk it till I experience it. If the Bible says by Jesus' stripes I'm healed, then when something comes against my body, I'm going to stand against that, and bless God, I'm going to stand on it no matter what my body or anybody else says until I experience that was done for me over 2,000 years ago. God said the gold and silver is mine, and Jesus, the Bible says that we're heirs and joint heirs, and the Bible says in Philippians, Paul said, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ. What do you need? Then you got some people, they'll say, well, he said need. Like belittling the word need. So I went myself and looked it up because Jesus didn't speak English, best I can recollect. Jesus spoke Hebrew and Greek. And so I got me an original Hebrew and Greek Bible. And then when something says something in that Bible that's been translated, it's the Word of God and it's undefiled and I'm not belittling it, praise God. It was translated in the English. So I went back and that says wants. I'll supply all of your wants according to my... That's what Jesus... That's what the word means when Paul said that in the Greek. I'll supply all of your wants. Well, I want a good marriage. Hallelujah. I want a good relationship with my son. I want a good relationship with my daughter-in-law. She's just like my daughter. I want a good relationship with my church family. I don't want no skin. He said, he'll supply all of my needs and all of my wants. Had a guy one time, I said, well, you know what, I'm going to believe God. I said, I'm going to believe God for a pontoon. I could just imagine me and Trace on a pontoon. We like a pontoon, man. Go out on the river and, you know, get it. And then I thought, oh, man, I have to buy a sticker. That sticker's probably $20. That's stupid. Stupid, you got to buy a sticker. See what Satan does? He goes in there and let God buy it. I thought, I'm going to let God buy me a sticker. My life belongs to him, right? He said he'd take care of us, right? That's what he told the children of Israel. All I want you to do is trust me, and I'll take care of you all the way through. He did. He rained manna out of heaven. He brought water out of the rock, man. I'm talking about he brought fire by night, keep them from freezing in that wilderness. He brought cloud by day to keep them sheltered while they were on their journey. And then he told him, he said, I'm going to rain manna out of heaven. He said, only pick up what you need. Don't get no more. Don't store up. Because he knew that mentality. He knew the mentality they had. We're going to gather all this up. We're going to eat for a week on this. He said, don't. And they did. The ones that did, it rotted. God let it rot. He caused it to rot. What he was wanting to do is let me supply for you every day. Just every day. That's what it, and that whole picture is me and you today. You know, and so the Bible says that God daily, somebody say daily. Every day, the Bible says that God daily loads us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Every day, I'm depending on the Lord to help me get stronger, Lord, in you. Help me, God, to develop and develop my faith, develop my senses, God. Help me, God, help me. And then what you've got the faith when you ask him. The Bible says that if you ask him, we know that if we ask him, that we have what we ask him. Right? So then we just go acting like it. I went around because I used to think, man, I'm just stupid. I make stupid choices. And then I got the word on it, and I went around and said, everybody like, man, you're making you still stupid. No, I'm one of the smartest guys on this planet. They're like, what? What happened to you? I'm like, God, I'm putting on the mind of Christ. I said, let this mind be in me that was in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. I went to a church one time and wanted me to come preach, and I went and preached. And I was preaching to that church about, you know, that you can touch God for yourself, you know, and you don't have to have preachers, you know, to lay hands on you. And that guy, he thought I was really just, you know, anti-ministry. You know, but what God was leading me, he was wanting that church to quit depending on the pastor. Quit depending on the leaders. Quit depending. Not have no confidence in them. That's not what God, that's not what I was preaching. You know, and I said, you know, because the pastor's asleep at 2:00 in the morning, man. But if you touch God yourself at 2:00, he's up. He never sleeps and he never slumbers. He's always there. You know, got done. That pastor, I thought, whoo, man, that was wonderful. These people going to set heaven, they're going to set heaven afire now because they learned some things, you know. Well, that pastor, he said, you can't preach that here. I said, what? I said, well, you mean I can't preach that here? You know, and I said, well, you ain't got to worry about it. I don't want to preach here. I said, you won't be troubled with that? I said, what are you afraid of? Are you afraid the people don't need you now? Are you afraid? I said, I wouldn't preach an anti-preacher. I said I was preaching to them, you can touch the king any minute, any hour, any tragedy, any time, hallelujah. I said, you know what? I said, God was trying to deliver you from your 1 and 2 and 10 and 11 because you had called me and want me to go with him at 10 and 2. And I'm working, man. God, Jesus would have to show up at my house to get me to do that. Jesus would have to drive up. I find in there you're supposed to have some rest, right? You know. And so. But anyhow, I thought about that and I thought, well, you know what? That's one thing that's wrong with a lot of Christians because they're not developing that intimacy with God themselves. And we have to be taught. My church taught me to do it. They taught me. to have that one-on-one with Jesus. You know, and that I did. It wasn't a bunch of laws and rules and regulations. It was a heart thing towards the Lord, a relationship that God saved me and Teresa. Praise God! Here we are. We're 39 years married. And you know what? Praise God! I mean that should be a light to a lot of Christians. Now we've been through some hell, buddy. Don't you think it's just been get your little lollipop and your little sucker every day and look at each other and swap suckers. There's been some hell in the hallway, right? There's some been disagreements. There's been some feelings and emotions. I'm better off. She's better off. I mean, we've went through some things when you're getting Egypt out, it's a tearing. There's a tearing taking place. There's ripping. It's ripping, but it's good because that's the old wine skin. You know, you're putting new wine in new wine skin. You're taking that old. Really, it's not us doing it. I went to a meeting one time, Deacon, he's in there. Every meeting, man, I mean, I'm doing everything I know to do to die of this flesh, man. You know, and my pastor preached a sermon, and he said, he was talking about relying on Jesus to die out to the flesh, you know. And he said, you know, he said you can put yourself and lay yourself down on the cross. He said, you can put one, he said, you can put the nails in your feet. He said, you can get one nail in your hand like Jesus. He said, but you can't do the other one. And he was talking about relying on Jesus. So I go into this meeting and this deacon, you know, every time he says, we got to die the flesh. All right, well, God, he's a big old guy, too. We got to die the flesh. I got mad, and I stood up, and I said, how? And we're right in the middle of that meeting, church meeting. I said, how? I said, I've done everything but shoot myself. I don't know, man. How? He couldn't tell me, man. He couldn't tell me what he meant. So I left, and I thought, oh, you got to watch what people's saying. He don't even know what he meant. I already knew it. The Bible says, mortify the deeds of the flesh. How? By the Spirit. Not by your own means, not by your killing yourself and get your mind on all your faults and flaws and your shortcomings and all of that. We know they're there. They don't nobody got to point out my shortcomings. They ain't nobody got to drill me on what I need to change. I know I got Christ living on the inside of me, but I realize if I focus on Him in this inward man, that this outward man changes, because now it's not by might or by power, but it's by the Spirit of God. Now, there's things I choose to do. I've chose not to get mad at half of y'all. What did I do? Don't start that baby stuff. I'll bring you a pacifier. What does it matter? I passed the test. You didn't get mad and all of that at me and other people. Well, who was it? Why does it matter? You don't need a pacifier anymore. Now you went from the pacifier, and God took me off the bottle, and I mean, put me on, you know, solid food. That's what He does. He raises us up to where we think like Christ. So I want to encourage you. You know, don't let. When I say I don't care what the church says, I'm telling you, church people get this mentality that you can't have nothing. You're just supposed to struggle all the time. I mean, they'll even preach to you that, you know, you're just still an old sinner. That's not what the Bible says. See, as long as I think I'm a sinner, I'm going to sin. What's the use of not sinning? Sin's fun. For a season, it's fun. Church don't even want to mention, I can't believe that pastor said that. Well, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed getting stoned. I enjoyed getting high. I enjoyed committing adultery. I enjoyed some of that stuff. The flesh man. But it brought destruction. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, see, but the Holy Spirit, He's here. And He's taking us into the promise. He's going to get you a house. He's going to get, if you desire a house, I don't care what year it is, what government it is, praise God. If you desire something, praise the Lord. You inquire of the Lord. Make sure God's okay with it. And I mean, bless God, just believe Him. Go sow you some seeds like Monty. I mean, the very place that he hated, now he kind of likes. That place didn't change. Monty did. See, God's changing us so the environment don't control us anymore. That we control the environment. That's a perfect example. I mean, I've heard him complain about that, and it is aggravating when you got that, you know, you're dealing with that, and you're trying to get the stuff done, and all of that stuff, and everything just keeps go clicking. But when you, the more that we grow spiritually, the less that those things can bother us, because why? We have changed. So I want to encourage you. You know, even people in the church, they'll say, they've told me, well, Brother Scotty, you know, we're just supposed to be rich in Jesus. And I'll be like, well, man, I'm going to believe for a nice car. I'm going to believe for a house. Well, you're supposed to just be thankful for what you got. And I said, well, I can do that and still believe, can't I? You know, I mean, can't we do that too? I mean, we can praise God and wax the fenders off. I did it. Wax the fenders off and praise God. And before you know it, I was in a truck with air conditioning. I had to get out and feel of it to see if it was really real. And it was. And they said, oh, you're just supposed to be. And the Lord told me, he said, you was spiritually bankrupt. He said, you was bankrupt spiritually before you got your give your heart to Jesus. He said, once you gave your heart to Jesus, he said, you became rich spiritually. He said, you became, it's endless. The spiritual deposits that I put inside of every believer, praise God. So don't you give up and don't you quit and don't you think that you're far as you can go. That's all God can do and that's high as God can take you, because God has a billion trillion ways of doing things that we can't even think of. I'll give you scripture for it. I like to back things up what I say with scripture. It says that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that me and you can think or ask. So I like to back up scripture with scripture. And when you get that, praise God, don't change. Just don't change. Somebody told me the other day, he said, why would you want to be a millionaire? I said, why wouldn't I want to be? People go to college for 30 years so that they can end up in their latter years with plenty of money to live off of. What's wrong with that? Nothing. They work for it. I said, what'd be wrong with being a millionaire? I said, I'll build the church. I said, I'll build our new church we've been believing for 15, 18 years. I said, what would be wrong with that? What would be wrong with building our new building down there? Because we don't borrow money. We believe God, and then in His timing, He makes it happen. Hallelujah. I said, I can't do it if I don't got the million. Right? God tells you to give your house away and you ain't got one? That's pretty shocking. But if you got a couple of $300,000 in the bank and you've been wanting to move anyhow, you're going to sow that in for yours. Right? Or God tells you to give a car, buy somebody a car. You know, you need money for that. And you know what? I started saying, God, I want to be blessed to be a blessing, God. God, I want to give away houses and cars. I want to be a blessing. And the Lord said, believe them in. Believe me, bring them to you. So I was believing God for a van, a vehicle, truck, whatever. And I went to this guy, and he was a day trader. And I put in some garage doors in. I looked over there, and there was an old van sitting over there. It was a nice-looking van, you know. And so I thought, The Lord said, ask him what he's going to do with that van. So I went in there, when I was settling up with him, I said, hey, man, I said, what's wrong with that van? He told me and everything. And he said, you want that van? And I said, well, I don't know what you want for it. He said, I'm going to give it to you. I said, yes, sir. Yeah, give me the title. I'll be back to get it. Went and got me a trailer. Well, I get it home, and I thought, oh, I got a van. Whoo! Pretty nice van, man. You know, had a ladder rack on the top and everything. And all of a sudden, the Lord said, that's for who you was believing. I was believing God for my neighbor. They you know, just got saved and all that, you know, some of them. And so it needed a wiring harness or something caught on fire. And I thought, well, they can fix that. And the Lord said, don't give them junk. Fix it. I thought, oh, man, I barely got the money to get by this week. Well, you know what? I went on anyhow, got that wire and harness, fixed that thing, praise God, went and give it to them. They they've used that thing for years, tying their ladders on the back. And in the end result now, 20-something years later, I drive what I want to drive. I pay cash for everything I get. I don't know. I owe no man nothing. I own my home. We own this church. We own these properties. I own 40 acres over yonder, you know, that I believe God for and blah, blah, blah. That's you. He brought me to the promised land. He's brought him. The less we limit God, the more God is able to do. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just praise you. And Lord, we just